You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Been in a 2-month slump and might be a little gun shy because got hit in the face last year.
Yep. And shame on me for forgetting that he got hit in the face.
It's all right, Pony. And then he thinks, this is the part that really wigged me out, is that according to Sam Blum, if I interpreted his words correctly to us, Pony, that Ward thinks, like Ward has confided in people who cover the team or has said on the record, he thinks pitchers are exploiting this.
They're throwing in
on him. Which tells me that he's really thinking about it.
Yep, I agree.
And he got hit in the face again in the same spot, just with the protector on his helmet, with what, in the last couple weeks?
That's what he said.
Brutal.
All right, so here are the three guys. Here are the three names. The first one is a name I frankly have not thought about in a while. Jesse Winker, the former Reds outfielder who's now in Washington. This is what MLB.com says about him. With top prospect James Wood getting called up, it's relegated Winker to part-time DH duties. Now, he is on an expiring contract, but he's making only $1.5 million. And here are his numbers for a guy that's quote-unquote playing part-time this year. Mm-hmm. He can play left field, he can play right field. Part-time, 11 home runs, 43 ribbies, 12 steals, .260 average, .374 on base, .432 slugging, .806 OPS, OPS plus 100 is average, .133.
He's having one of the best offensive seasons of his career.
Two years ago, he went to the All-Star game at .949 OPS with Cincinnati Malzi.
Yeah, I think some of the Cincinnati numbers 3 years ago.
3 years ago, thank you.
Some of the Cincy numbers are probably, especially that year, a little inflated by playing in a bandbox. But Washington's park is no hitter-friendly paradise at all. That place has always seemed like one of the deeper, more cavernous
parks. It's a fair ballpark, yep.
Yeah, it's tough to hit home runs there. There's not a lot of cheapies.
That would remind me of almost when they brought Ludwig in at the trade deadline. Remember that?
Which was a disaster, though. He was terrible.
He was.
Derek Lee came in, hit 2 home runs in his first game. They were chanting his name, and he didn't want to play baseball anymore after that season.
Well, he got hit on the hand with a pitch, and that derailed that season for him.
But they never came back. He looked like he had plenty left in the tank.
Oh, yeah, right. He'd be retired.
He was done.
That
was it for him.
Yep.
Because I remember thinking, oh, they should try to bring him back next year. Nope.
11 homers, 43 RBIs.
That's a good bat. It would automatically slot in and be one of the better bats in their lineup. Probably one of the three best bats.
And he's a left-handed hitter, so he'd play every day.
Mm-hmm. Put him into right field, basically.
The only thing about that, the reason why I would guess, the one thing that I think would keep them from making a trade for somebody like him, I bet they feel like they get that with Palacios.
They don't, though. We haven't seen it proven over a long period of time.
I do like what he's brought. I do like what he's brought the team, though, Chris.
I understand.
There's a little bit of a pep with him and a shot in the arm with him.
He has some
juice. Boost with him for sure.
Guys like him. He plays with like an attitude in a good way. Greg Brown points it out every time he's up there that he does it.
There's a panache.
There's a little bit of look at me there, but in the kind of way that everyone seems to like because he goes out there and plays very hard.
Yep.
That was good Yasiel Puig. I'm not saying he's Yasiel Puig, but remember when people loved him, it was because he played hard and there was swagger there, but it was like the healthy kind.
I think their issue is center field. And I don't think that this Winker wouldn't solve that. He would give them another good bat. But the thing is, when you face a right-handed pitcher, to get the platoon right, you'd want Palacios, you'd want Winker, you'd want Reynolds all in the lineup, and somebody's got to play. I mean, you basically need two center fielders because of left field and center field. What I would argue back, though, is your outfield defense already is bad because you start Sawinski most nights
just
in center field.
Deal with it. What, put Reynolds in center, I guess, and figure it out?
The thing I don't think they like about that, though, is because it's more work for Reynolds to play center field, especially on the road.
They don't want it to take away from his offense.
Right, they want him to play every day.
Okay, I don't know, cross your fingers and put old Josh Palacios out there. Swag it up, brother.
You can't put him in center field, though.
Okay.
So option two here, MLB.com, Pirates trade targets. The first one was Winker. The next one is Chisholm. And they've been playing him at second base, which does the Pirates no favors because they don't need a second baseman with Gonzalez. But the article says it's another sign that they're trying to trade him, that they're showing teams that he can do more than just play center field. 12 homers, 18 stolen bases, 728 OPS. And they're two more years after this one for Chisholm, who among the guys out there probably, I think, fits what they need the most, and that's someone to man center field for them.
And yet you keep hearing these weird stories. Teammates don't love them.
Oh, I totally believe all that stuff, they won't.
Like, kind of a headache.
I agree. I don't think that they will. I think that they will not acquire him, not only because of the escalating cost and his salary with arbitration, the amount that it would take to get him in terms of prospects that they would need to surrender. But also, I agree. I don't think they look at him as a personality fit for their team. Which, get over that. I mean,
I'm just saying, like,
people said Bill Madlock was not a personality fit when the Pirates traded for him in 79.
Yes,
that
Barry
seemed
Bonds
to work out
not
okay.
A personality fit for most teams, but it worked out well. Not that Jazz Chisholm is even 1/100 of Barry
Bonds. Now, Chisholm has never played more than 124 games in a season. Donnie has pointed that out a lot. He's not a guy that stays healthy.
No, that's a little more worrisome.
And then the last one is Brent Rooker. We've gone over him before. Just, he hit 30 home runs last year. He's on pace to hit more than that this season. He's posting a 942 OPS this year.
Beast.
It's crazy.
He's a beast.
The way this guy has just completely come out of nowhere. Literally any team in baseball could have had him. He bounced around teams. He was a, what you would call a quad A player. He's the, honestly,
it's like a Steve Pierce situation.
I'm going to say this, and obviously people, I'm not at all insinuating that he's using performance-enhancing drugs. But he's the type of guy like 20 years ago
you'd have all wondered
that you would
about.
Wonder about because he was not a good player. And then suddenly in his late 20s, when you're not supposed to develop or get
turn
much
good.
Better, he's gone from a borderline, barely major league player to a guy that has, by OPS, he is right now eighth in baseball, Chris.
Yeah, not many. Judge is ahead of him.
Judge, Otani, Soto,
yeah.
Harper, Devers, Ozuna,
Henderson,
and then Rooker.
Jeez, dude.
Better than Betts, Freeman, Yordan Alvarez, Stephen Kwan, Bobby Witt Jr., Christian Yelich, Jose Ramirez, Brian Reynolds.
That's insane.
Ellie De La Cruz. I could keep going
here.
Who's
the ultimate example of a guy 20 years ago who actually did turn a middling career into a good one with PEDs?
Well, everyone's going to bring up Brady Anderson as like the case study in that.
He was like an okay player, though. He was a little better than like quad A baseball player.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had hit 20 homers before, and then he just randomly hit 50. I'm just trying to think of somebody who literally was a creation of basically taking steroids.
Well, that's what they say about Sosa.
Yeah, but he had hit 30 home runs and stuff. I mean, he wasn't a great player, but he was good enough. Yeah, there's got to be somebody out there.
Did you hear the trade suggestion that Zeiss and Starkey brought up? I think it was the first segment of their show.
For
it was,
what?
It was like 10:43, but it was the first segment of their show.
Okay.
They were just completely, they're just going crazy with the A's. Like, they brought up Mason Miller. They said, let's trade for Rooker and Miller. I would give away, like, six of my top 10 prospects and Davis and Sawinski, maybe.
Man, for a closer, if it was a dominant starting pitcher, I would actually do something wild like that, but it's a closer.
Well, I guess their thought is that Miller will consider starting again next year because that is what he came up as.
But is Miller going to be the 102-mile-an-hour flamethrower? Would you have two unicorns on a team?
I mean, I think of Aroldis Chapman and Jonathan Papelbon, and both the Reds and Red Sox tried to make those elite closers into starting pitchers, and when they didn't like the results, they went right back to being closers again.
I mean, Miller is a big dude, 6'5", the body type's there.
You know who's a good example of it working, though, was Lugo with the Royals this year.
Yeah.
He was a reliever with the Mets, and now he's one of the best starting pitchers in baseball, and he ain't no spring chicken.
No, and I thought of the reverse example. Smoltz went from being a great starter to a great
quickly,
closer.
Of those three guys, who interests you the most? Rooker, Chisholm, or Winker?
Rooker.
Donnie?
Oh, Rooker by a mile.
So where's he play? Where's he play, though?
Right. DH.
If you
you're putting that bat in the lineup, I don't care.
If I found out that they didn't want to make that trade because they didn't want to, like, mess with McCutcheon. Mm-hmm. For as much as I love McCutcheon and
be
what
like,
he's done for the Pirates, I would be very,
here.
Very, 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 very annoyed by that and upset by that. Rooker's the best player. But I honestly think in terms of fit that Chisholm would probably be the best guy because they need the center field help so badly. That's the Achilles heel or the biggest weakness in their lineup, even though Rooker's a much better player than Chisholm.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A week from now, the Steelers will get to La Trobe for training camp. St. Vincent College. Ray Fittipaldo will be all over it. Top insider from the Post-Gazette. Ray has been all over this Brandon Ayuk rumor mill. Ayuk formally requesting a trade earlier in the week. Ray reported earlier this offseason that the Steelers and 49ers, this is not something that's a fantasy trade, that the Steelers did have interest in Brandon Ayuk. Ray, do you think they still have interest, especially now that Ayuk definitely wants to try to get his way out of San Francisco?
Yeah, and you know, I think obviously Ayuk and the 49ers control this situation. So for right now, the Steelers, all they could do really is just sit back. But I, you know, Andrew, if the price is right, then I think the Steelers would be willing to do a deal, and the price has to be right.
What is the right price, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, first it has to be right in terms of what you give up in draft picks. So, you know, I would give up, I think, a 2025 third. But the second part of that equation is that, you know, I think you have to be willing to take on that big salary that he's going to command. And I just don't know if the Steelers would be willing to pony up 27, 28, 29 million a year, whatever it's going to take to get Ayuk. So I think there's interest there, but I think they would have to do some, you know, some work with the salary cap to get there.
How much of their interest in Brandon Ayuk do you think is predicated on the fact that they watched him come in here as part of that Niners offense in week one, and he was one of the central figures torching them in that game?
Yeah, I mean, when he requested the trade a couple of days ago, that touchdown was on loop when he was just, you know, I think Patrick Peterson fell down, and they were showing all these highlights from the Steelers game. And you're right, Chris. I mean, that's he came in here, he put on a show. But it wasn't just that one game. I think he's overlooked in the 49ers offense because they got Christian McCaffrey. They got George Kittle. And I think they're an offense really that's based around their running game. And I think if you put him in a different offense, and listen, Arthur Smith is going to be the same way, but I think there would be more appreciation for Brandon Ayuk if he wasn't around so many stars. So you put him on this team, he's the number one receiver, number one target, and he's got some nice complementary players around here, but there's no doubt he would be the number one threat in this offense for Russell Wilson.
Ray, San Francisco's trying to win a Super Bowl. If they wanted a player back in the deal, who are some players that you think would make sense for the 49ers to get back from the Steelers in a trade?
Well, I mean, I think most of the times in these situations, teams like the 49ers want draft compensation as the return. You know, they're getting rid of Brandon Ayuk because they don't want to pay him. So, they want to go the route where they draft and then they have control of a guy. But, I mean, listen, if they are interested in the player, I think the Steelers have some depth on the offensive line. I mean, you could talk about James Daniels. I don't know if they need a guard. Obviously, Dan Moore would be available. I don't know if they would want 1 year of control with Dan Moore. But just look at the places where the Steelers have depth. I think offensive line, number one. Other than that, maybe. I mean, I don't think there's too many other places where the Steelers have a lot of depth. You could say outside linebacker because Nick Herbig came on last year, but I don't know if they would be interested in Herbig. And quite honestly, I don't know if the Steelers would be willing to give up Nick Herbig. He's a nice little piece that they got in the fourth round. So, when you find guys like that, you tend to hang on to them.
Right this second, Ray, what would you say? The Steelers can say whatever they want about how they feel about their players, and we've heard them express confidence in players only to trade those players not that long after. How, I don't want to say desperate, but how motivated are they to find a number two wide receiver who currently is not on their roster? How motivated are they to look outside their roster and try to fill that hole?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think they're willing to go into the season with the guys that they have if the price is too steep for a legit number two receiver. And I don't see Omar coming off that price. I think just as he does in contract negotiations, he has a price for what he thinks players are worth. You can go back to that Cam Sutton negotiation last year. Once the compensation for the Lions got up around $11 million, they were like, hey, congrats, go make some money, but we can't pay you that. I think it's the same thing when you're talking about trades like this. So they'll have a price in mind and what they want to pay Brandon Ayuk, and they'll have a price in mind also and what they want to give up in terms of a player or draft pick compensation.
Talking to Ray Fittipaldo here on 93.7 The Fan. Ray, how about Roman Wilson? What are the odds that he emerges as the Steelers' second-best receiver this season?
I'd say 30%. I think they've collected a lot of depth receivers over the offseason. I think the expectation will be for one of those guys to step up and to be that starter early in the season. I think Roman Wilson is definitely going to have a role, and I think it's up to Roman Wilson, to what that role is going to be. But I don't envision him getting number two receiver targets. I think really when you look at it, I think Pat Freiermuth is going to be more involved after George Pickens. And then until Roman Wilson is ready, I think it's going to be, Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller, any number of those guys that they picked up along the way who've been, trying to get their feet wet and get to know Russell Wilson a little bit here this offseason.
Ray, how plausible is it that when the Steelers break camp and head into the season, they view internally their top three receiving threats as George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, and at least for the time being, Jaylen Warren?
If you look at Warren's production, just in terms of the volume of catches he gets because he's your third down back and he's dangerous once he gets the ball. I think if you look at the way Arthur Smith has distributed the ball in the past, whether it's been with the Falcons or with the Titans, he's quite content to do that. You can go the 1 year with the Titans where I think they were a top five offense. They had like 10 guys the ball was spread around to, three different tight ends, two running backs, and a plethora of receivers. So, in his offense, you don't have to have one or two guys, but you know, I still think this team could use a legit number two, but like I said, I don't think, you know, Omar is going to be pressured into doing something if he doesn't want to do it.
Ray, internally, because you reported that the Steelers were interested in Ayuk. Are they interested in him to be their number one wide receiver or their number two receiver to George Pickens?
No, I mean, I think you acquire a guy that you're going to pay, you know, Justin Jefferson-type money to, or in that neighborhood, he's going to be your number one. And then George Pickens settles in as your number two. I mean, that's...
And how do you respond to the people that call into our show and say that Pickens wouldn't like that and that would be a big hang-up and that would be a big issue, Pickens getting, like, relegated to that?
You can't worry about that. Mike Tomlin is constantly saying that George Pickens isn't a problem, that he's growing up, and, you know, he has these conversations with him. So, really, if he is growing up and he is, you know, behaving differently, then something like that wouldn't, you know... wouldn't bother him too much. I think every receiver wants another great receiver next to them because it makes them better. His numbers theoretically would go up as would Ayuk's. You know, you might have 2,000-yard receivers there instead of one guy who has like 1,600 yards, you know, if you don't have some quality around that guy.
Ray, do you think if Ayuk actually was brought here via trade and given that contract that George Pickens would be a one-contract-and-gun guy for the Steelers then?
Yeah, I think most Steelers receivers over the years have been one-contract guys. And the only guys who have gotten second contracts, I might miss one or two, but it's Antonio Brown, it's Hines Ward, and is there another guy? Deontay Johnson over the last, two decades?
That's it.
Pickens would be a pretty talented guy, though, to be a one-and-done contract for them. And ultimately, given the quarterbacking, pretty productive, given how mediocre the quarterbacking has been.
Okay, this you were probably in high school or college, but is he much different in terms of his size, speed, big playability? I mean,
much
I
different than
at
who
him
you cut out there.
Plex.
Other than draft pedigree, where Plex was a top 10 pick, probably not.
You think George Pickens is a better player?
I think he's a better athlete. I think Plex was just a huge dude who could run, but I think Pickens is like the total package athletically.
Yeah, but I think my point overall was, you know, they have moved extremely good, extremely productive. I mean, look at Mike Wallace. They tried to get a deal done with Mike Wallace. They couldn't do it. They went to AB, and AB said, yeah, I'll sign it, and he took off. So, you know, it helps when you have a franchise quarterback. You know, the Steelers had one then. We don't think they have one on the roster now. We'll see what happens. But, you know, Big Ben made a lot of those players, right? I mean, he made Hines. He made AB. All those guys were really good players, but it does make a difference when you have a Hall of Famer throwing you the football.
Ray, enjoy what's left of your vacation, and we'll see you in Latrobe soon. Okay, buddy?
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider. Paldo on, and this dovetails into Total Request Thursday, TRT, where we give you four options and you pick what you want us to talk about at 5:30. On today's docket, Steelers new announcer, Pirates buy low trade, Ayuk blockbuster offer, and Livy Dunn. And I thought Livy Dunn would win because of the HGQ. Horny guy quotient. Apparently, fans care more about Brandon Ayuk and potentially getting him to Pittsburgh because that's what won, a very close vote, 32.3%. Pirates by low trade. Livy Dunn were the runners-up, and then way, way down the list was Rob King taking over as new Steelers radio announcer.
I'm a little disappointed in the voters.
Yeah? You wanted Livy Dunn?
No. No. I got like a little bit of Ayuk fatigue, only because I know why it's relevant. I understand that it's relevant. I'm certainly not denigrating the idea that we get to talk about sports for a living. It's just one of those things where nothing is happening. I know he formally requested a trade, but we all kind of knew that there was trouble in paradise there.
Yep.
And it's just one of those things where we feel like we've been sprinting on the Ayuk treadmill here and going nowhere.
Well, then this will be a different spin on this. Also, Ray was brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity, LGKG.com.
Do we agree with Ray's take that Big Ben made Hines Ward?
I do not.
Two of his three All-Pros before Ben.
I do not agree with that.
Three of his four Pro Bowls before Ben. I don't even think he made AB. That was a mutually beneficial relationship.
So who is a receiver that he made? Give me someone that is a byproduct of Ben. Who put up numbers and you
only
think, well, Ben Roethlisberger is the guy that did that for him. Heath Miller?
What about Wallace?
I think you could say it more about Wallace than a guy like AB. I think that's the one.
Emmanuel Sanders did pretty well with Peyton Manning.
And was not shy about telling people.
Sanders ended up having a pretty good career.
Yes, he did.
I like that answer. So Big Ben got Mike Wallace rich.
Correct.
From what Ray said, I don't really feel like the Steelers' heart is in it to get Brandon Ayuk, UPMC Health System, your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened today. When he's calling out things like a third-round pick and James Daniels.
Well, that'll get there.
And how about when he said, I'm not even sure the Steelers would want to give up Nick Herbig.
Or Nate. Was
or
it
Nate Herbig.
Nate Herbig. No, Nick Herbig.
It was Nick Herbig.
No, I'm sorry. I got my Herbigs confused.
Nick Herbig, the pass rusher. Of course,
yeah, when
the
he said James, well, when he said James Daniels, I immediately thought interior lineman, and then Nate Herbig made sense. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I asked him how motivated are they to do this. Because I wonder about their level of, and then he said Omar is not going to panic move anything. He's not going to be feel like he is forced or backed into a corner to make a move. That let me put it this way, Pony, and I don't mean to poo-poo it. Like I said, I get why it's so
relevant. I understand poo-pooing if the best he thinks the Steelers want to do here is a third-round pick in James Daniels. That is a massive poo-poo.
My point is, I have, from the start of this, understood why the Steelers would be connected. They do have a need. I have never taken ultra-seriously the idea that they were really beating down the 49ers' door saying, please! Please give us Brandon Ayuk. Please make a deal.
Well, they're not. If the 49ers make up their mind that they're going to trade the guy, I can guarantee you they're going to get a better offer than what Ray just spitballed there.
I would agree.
Third round pick in James Daniels.
Mm-hmm. I know. They're going to get a much better offer.
I'm almost out of principle, if I were the 49ers, I would say, well, we'll just, if he wants to hold out into the season, fine. We'll let that happen, and eventually he'll come and we'll take five or six games in the playoffs of Brandon Ayuk rather than James Daniels in a day two pick.
When's the last time
third
somebody...
round pick? We might even get a third round pick for him as a compensatory pick in free agency.
Right. When's the last time somebody as good as Ayuk is, and I know I'm like not on the he's a top 10 receiver, he's more like 12 to 15 range.
When's the NFL executive scouts and coaches, by the way, did rank him 10th.
Okay, so I'm not really that far off in saying he's 12 to 15.
They had him ahead of Cooper Kupp, Debo Samuel, Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Nico Collins, Amari Cooper.
He's
and
not
DJ
better
Moore.
Than a healthy Kupp, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't know if we're ever going to get healthy Kupp again.
He's also, I don't think, better than Amari Cooper, believe it or not. I think Amari Cooper is criminally underrated.
Well, what do you mean? He made this list as an honorable mention. How is that criminally underrated?
He's better underrated? Than Ayuk.
That's like when I said Ron Francis was underrated and you said he's too good to be underrated. If you're ranked as like the 14th best receiver in the NFL, how can you be underrated?
I'm just merely pointing out that my ranking for Ayuk in the 12 to 15 range is more accurate. That's all. Where were we?
Jason LaCanfora said on Fox Sports Radio that the Steelers are going to get another receiver. And said whether it's Ayuk, and here's the interesting part, he said whether it's the Devontae Adams scenario down the road.
I just assumed Devontae Adams wanted to somehow find a way back to Aaron Rodgers.
I would agree with that.
So what is his Devontae Adams scenario?
He didn't really go into detail on it. He just said maybe it's Devontae Adams eventually.
What's the name of his show in Baltimore now? Inside Access? We've got to get Inside Access to find out more.
Devontae Adams, his agent has come out, just like the agent that ripped Zeiss for that little birdie report.
Yes.
Devontae Adams has another year on his contract after this year, at least one more. That's when the potential out comes in. How about this? Cap hit, $44 million.
Steep.
Now, that cap hit, some of that would be, the Raiders would be on the hook for it. So the cap number for the Steelers' purposes would be more like $35, $36 million. Still, though, that's more than what the cap hit's going to be on Ayuk.
Considerable.
And he's going to be...
Adams is a better receiver, but I don't know
I don't
for
know,
how much
man.
Longer.
That's exactly right. He's 32 this year.
No, I don't there know for
how much
There
are not a lot
longer.
Of wide receivers in their 30s that are doing big things.
Where did he rank on that ESPN list? Fifth.
Adams was five. Yep. The four guys ahead of him, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, and Justin Jefferson.
So the people who make these lists think he's good. Steve points out we wouldn't even be talking about this because if Dom and City Limits could have voted more than once, the Livy Dunn topic would have won by a landslide.
Oh, would it ever?
I think that requires a quote
a couple of times over.
HGQ.
If Livy Dunn, like, tweets out something that just says, like, I'm thinking it's, like, tangentially related to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
If she tweets out Rivers, period,
mm-hmm.
2 seconds later, Bechtold, quote tweet, Livy Dunn talking about Pittsburgh. Could this mean a Paul Skeens extension, question mark?
Or she tweets out, like, incline, and she means, like, bench press to work out or something. Livy Dunn tweeting about the Mon incline. Does this mean Paul Skeens loves to go up and down the mountain and he's staying?
Happy wife, happy life. Is Skeens
Livy
on
Dunn
the precipice
says,
of signing a long-term deal?
Livy Dunn tweets, sometimes people just don't get the point. Bechtold, she's talking about that fountain. The Point State Park. Paul is staying six more years.
I gotta be honest with you. The more I think about it, Fittipaldi actually said a lot in that interview, especially when you asked him about the Pickens thing, and he thinks Pickens is a one-contract guy, which means that either Adams or Ayuk or DK Metcalf, all those guys, in my opinion, not that they were, I don't think they were ever out of play. I don't think, look at the Eagles with their two receivers and look at the Dolphins with their two.
It brings them very much into play, though, if you only think Pickens is here.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.